Hey guys, welcome to another exciting episode of the Joey Utah Perspective. Today, I have with me a very special guest of mine. Her name is Toni Bubb. She's a professional lover of life, and she's here to give us some great life advice and great wisdom in so many different areas. Toni works as a career transition coach and mentor, and her main mission at the moment is to change the workplace culture and to inspire a lot more positive environments. Toni's become a good friend of mine. We met on LinkedIn about a year ago, and we've had some really awesome conversations about personal development and, you know, how to better our relationships in life. We're all different. We're all unique human beings, and Toni puts a beautiful and a very fun-loving spin on personal development. So I hope that you guys enjoy the episode and you guys get a lot of great value because Toni brought a lot of it to the show today. Enjoy the show, guys.
Joey, appreciate you having me on the show and the introduction. Yes, I'm a professional lover of life. And the areas that I really focus on are workplace culture, people enjoying their work and making it a more stress-free, you know, experience, bringing the fun. And I talk about people's love lives and relationships as well. So those are kind of the areas that I focus on and I really enjoy talking about. When people come to me wanting to make a career move, we usually end up starting out with their personal relationships and their romantic relationships first before we even get into the careers.
Okay, I love that. So when you talk about people trying to figure out, you know, what kind of professional career they want, how do you start with the romantic side of things? Is that like, because I'm very interested, I'm very curious with that.
Yeah. So actually, I have all of the people that are interested in working with me take a questionnaire first that I put together, which is very unique. And I also work on self-confidence, self-worth, and like we were talking about before the show started, self-love. And a lot of the times when people are going to make a career move, they don't understand that the way that and the relationships that they've been in that maybe weren't the most healthy have affected their self-worth. So we'll actually kind of dig into that a little bit before we even start the job search. And the number one thing I usually start with even before the relationships is understanding what their why is. That is the foundation before I start with anything, is what their why is in life and their purpose.
I love that. And it's interesting because we're both life coaches of different sorts. And that's the first thing I do with all of my clients, is figure out their why. You know, some people, their why is more professionally oriented. They're focused on their professional goals, their growth. Some people is more, you know, romantically involved, or, you know, their why is starting a family someday, meeting that special somebody. So if you don't mind, what are some of the questions that you use in the screening process?
Yeah, so I actually ask them about each area of their life. So okay. Holistic process. So their health, their self-love, their spirituality, I ask them about. And I actually ask them what kind of humor they like. So I actually have a section that says, are you into funny memes? Do you like SNL humor? Do you like Jimmy Fallon humor? What kind of music do you listen to? I ask them what motivates them, such as vacation, money, family, etc. And I kind of go through that questionnaire with them, and it reveals a lot. You might think that it doesn't, but when you go through it with them on the phone, you're able to kind of pinpoint the area that needs to be focused on first. And that's where I like to start before I even get into the career transition, because I feel like otherwise people end up going in circles and they don't see a change. They keep getting into the same job. And my goal is to help you break through that and really get into a career and a job that you really enjoy and your soul. So it's so much deeper than finding a job.
I love that. It's something that I don't feel is done enough, you know, and to hit on your point about the question sounding silly, you know, I'm a big Tony Robbins fan, and Tony Robbins always says, if you want better answers, you got to ask better questions. You got to ask more specific questions. And, you know, I feel like it, asking questions like that about, you know, what someone's humor is like, exactly what they like, it's so important because it truly does reveal, you know, a lot more about that person that is kind of underneath the surface. And you're really digging. And I'm sure your clients all have you know, a lot of great things to say about it and have had great results. But with that being said, what is like your, I guess your ideal client, if you don't mind me asking, because I know you do a lot of workplace structuring, you do a lot of interpersonal communication teaching and all that. Where's your like, or what is your ideal customer like?
Yeah, so my ideal customer is usually a leader or a senior manager, and it's someone that's like literally like right on the verge. Like they're super passionate. They've been trying. They've been doing a lot of the work on their own, but they just can't seem to like break through that thing. They're like, why am I so stuck? And that's my ideal client. Someone that's already done the work. Someone that's already like in motion, in the process. And they're ready, like they're hungry to make a change. And usually it's just like the simplest thing that they're, because they're thinking about it too hard, that when someone comes in and gives a different perspective or sees them differently, it's like an aha moment. It's almost magical. And that's why I'm actually able to work with people so quickly. I'm not a typical coach that usually makes people do commitments for like 3 to 6 months, because I can usually help people out pretty quickly. That's my ideal client. And then when it comes to businesses that are open-minded, creative, they really care about their employees, and it's more than just from a profit standpoint. Those are the type of businesses that I want to work with and that I am working with. And kind of, like I said, taking a holistic approach to life and including fun in the workplace. It's not just happy hours and celebrating birthdays.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it sounds like everything together, like what you're teaching with holistic healing, is it's kind of about having a healthy balance of different things in your life.
So it's interesting that you say balance, because I agree and disagree with balance. So the one thing that I realized when I had bad experiences with people coaching me was, and I used to have anxiety, and I still get it once in a while, and really bad panic attacks. So I used to get very overwhelmed that these coaches were giving me so much to work on. So if I'm already anxious, if I'm already overwhelmed, and I'm not the quite happiest with life, so that's why I try to really focus on one or two core things with a person. So before I move on to the next one, and I'm actually going to be doing a video on like how life is kind of like a video game and like getting to the next level. So I feel like it's good to only focus on one or two things, or maybe just one thing, because otherwise you get overwhelmed and our lives are so busy anyways. So it has to do with the individual, like per person, you know, what their actual needs are. But like kind of what we talked about, you know, before, it usually comes down to self-worth, self-love, appreciation and valuing yourself and understanding what that means. I mean, that has to be the foundation before anything else changes in your life.
Totally agree with you on that one. And I think that's a great point you make with, you know, having certain core competencies to focus on in the beginning. And I know myself, you know, as somebody who's also suffered from anxiety in the past, in the not so distant past, I should say. Especially with running a business, sometimes, you know, there's so many different things going on.
A couple of things I want to touch on. One is business, and when you're making a career, a lot of the people I work with are making a career transition from working a 9-to-5 or corporate into entrepreneurship. So that is a very challenging transition, and it can be very scary. And the other thing is kind of creating boundaries. So knowing what you're good at, but also the one thing that I hear you're doing that most people are afraid to do because they think someone else can't do it as good as them is delegate. Mm-hmm. Almost the number one thing I always say with entrepreneurs is set up your ability to scale and your foundation and your processes in the very beginning. Because and there's a book that I always recommend. It's called Scale by Jeff Hoffman. If you don't set those things up in the beginning, you're screwed pretty much. And talking about strengths, so there's the Strengths Finders book. And in that story, it talks about how Rudy, the football player, He was trying so hard and he got to do one, you know, he was in the game for like 2 or 3 seconds and he made one play and that's what he's like known for. But that is not, he worked all those years and spent all that time and energy into something for one like little moment. And it's not even what he's doing right now. So there's a difference between challenging yourself and knowing what your strengths are and challenging yourself within your strengths versus forcing things in your life that you're not supposed to be doing. So I think a huge difference with that.
That's such an interesting point. And you know the way to a man's heart because you start talking about Rudy and, you know, we're both football fans. We're both Cowboy fans. all right. So we've talked a lot about, you know, what you do and your communication and everything. Let's kind of show our audience the other side of you, because unfortunately I can't stream videos on my podcast, but you're very notorious on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook for making some of the silliest and yet most inspirational videos that I've come across. You know, if you guys are listening, go check out Toni. We're going to put all of her links in the description. But she has a way. I was talking about this before the podcast about, you know, you talk a lot about self-love and how important it is and personal development. And I was saying how a lot of people don't want to go that personal development route because it's too painful. It's too like rigid and there's too many tasks. You mentioned before, you know, you've worked with coaches where they give too much work and it's painful, right? It's a whole process. You know, anytime you have to better yourself, it's a process. But what you do and what drew me to you and to inviting you on the podcast was you put this whole different spin on it. You made me associate self-development with pleasure when I watch your videos, because you're usually starting your videos singing some song from the 90s or, you know, something catchy that's silly that's grabbing my attention. And you have a way of making your videos very lighthearted. And like I said, there's also a ton of value once you start speaking. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why you started doing that. What are some of your favorite songs to sing? And maybe I'll get you to sing a song before this podcast ends.
It's so funny because the songs, like how I come up with these ideas, literally it's like, I'll just get a song in my head and I'm like, oh, video. Yes, let's shoot. Like that's how it literally happens. Like there's usually any planning to it. I'm starting to do more planning now because my schedule is getting a little busier. But it was part of promoting my business before. But I think for myself, I moved a lot because I was in the military. And so I was always the new girl. And no, it was hard to make friends and people weren't always nice to me. So I always knew how that felt when someone new was coming in. And people always said I was intimidating. And I was like, what? Why? And so I think as a way to, like, people will tell me that. So I'm like, okay, as a way to make myself not so intimidating, maybe I should be a goofball, you know, and like laugh and joke around. So I also think, like what you said, when we think about self-care, and I'm not going to lie, it doesn't mean that self-care or self-personal development and getting to know yourself and really truly loving yourself is not the most enjoyable kind of talking about. I mean, it takes a lot of work and a lot of like digging deep and a lot of crying and journaling. And it's not always pleasant. I think what I'm trying to do is, like you said, make it more of a pleasurable and approachable thing for people to do, because it really is the key to pushing forward or breaking that pattern and breaking through. So I try to make... And first of all, it's like, you know, who wants to watch a corporate training video? It's when people are talking about these stuff, we all talk about the same shit. Basically, we do. So it's like, if you want to, we all do. So if you want to hear about something, you know, that's really going to inspire you to take action, why don't I get you like pumped up to actually be excited to go do it versus like scared and like, ooh, what does this mean for me kind of thing? And not going for the instant gratification of on the other side either. That's why I don't like a lot of these people that post about, oh, I have that thing that's going to change your life right away. That's a bunch of bull crap too, you know? So that's how I try to approach my videos, and it's a process and I'm going through it too. I would have to, I would be lying if I wasn't going through it either. So Just being compassionate for myself and the people that are watching is what I do, and try to make it fun for everyone.
Yeah, and you do. You succeed very well at that because it's fun. You know, like I said, I always stop and make sure I watch your videos and try and leave a comment if I have time. I don't know what it is about people like us, why I was always perceived as intimidating too. And I was always told it was the eyebrows. So I don't know if that has something to do.
That's funny.
I used to get told I had angry eyebrows. So.
Oh, geez. People would say to me, I've got deer in the headlights eyes.
That could be intimidating.
You said something I want to touch on real quick because you brought up Tony Robbins. And so he talks about in his movie, I'm Not Your Guru.
Love
there's
it.
An example with the woman that had a really bad past. And I always tell this to people, story, your bad experiences to go out into the world and then help people. So like if you moved a lot, if you had anxiety, if you had, you know, bad work experiences, bad relationships, how God gave that opportunity for you to go through it so you know how someone feels, and then you worked your way through it. So then now you can go teach others, you know, how to get through it because you know how it feels. And I love that part of the movie. So I thought a lot of what you were saying was along those lines.
No, it's a great point you're making. And I'm going to segue into a Game of Thrones reference that you just reminded me of because
I don't watch that show.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. We'll have a talk after the, you're going to be watching that show.
No, I'm prude. I will never watch it.
Oh, there's so many wonderful life lessons, but one of the ones, and you reminded me of it, is that there's a character who's always talking about how he had an awful upbringing and he was the bastard of the family. And there's a character on who comes along and tells him, you know, never forget what you are because the rest of the world won't. So wear it like armor and it can never be used to hurt you.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a great one. It's a great show. You got to watch it. But the whole point is,
it's like strip clubs. I'll never go to one. Sorry. I'm just saying.
That's your decision. And you know, I'm not going to try and influence you anymore.
You're not going to make me do it, Joey.
But my point is, you know, and your point too, I think that what we agree on is, you know, if you're somebody who's struggling, who had a tough upbringing, right? Whether you were abused emotionally, physically, we've all faced some kind of oppression. I always predicate my speeches with this, right? We all face some kind of pain. We all got bullied in school or got made fun of by our family or somebody was cruel to us at some point. And there's two ways you can approach that. You can either take the victim route and say, yep, that's who I am. And you can internalize it and just accept that you are the loser. You are the person who's always getting bullied because you're not good enough to overcome that. Or you can do the opposite and be honest with yourself, be real, acknowledge where you're at, acknowledge, you know, what your faults are, if they are faults, and wear them and show them to others and, you know, express to others that, you know, I used to suffer from this too. I used to be bullied too at times. And then I changed and then I realized I'm in control, you know, and I learned how to exercise and to take care of myself and to be more assertive so that it doesn't happen. And what I'm really trying to say is anything that happens to you, it can be a gift or a curse.
Right.
It's all on you. It's all on you. And sometimes it takes us longer to learn these life lessons. But if you can catch yourself or if you can surround yourselves with people like Tony or others who can maybe, you know, just change your perspective a little bit and let you see things a little differently, it can really change your life. I mean, I don't say that lightly. But it really, really can. If you have somebody who can just, like I said, just change the lens for a second and say, hey, yeah, I understand things suck from the way you're looking at things, but try seeing it this way. You know, maybe you were picked on all those years. I spoke a few weeks ago at a school because they're having bullying problems. And ironically, all the bullying, you know, with this day and age where everybody's talking about toxic masculinity, you know, all the majority of the bullies in the school were females. But anyway, my point is, I told those kids, listen, I was bullied too. You know, I was the same as some of you guys are. And I wasn't trying to shame anybody. I didn't call anybody out. But I was trying to get through to them and let them know that, you know, it's okay. You know, look where I'm at now. I've learned to overcome it and many other things. And I'm actually able to help others because of the pain I went through. And if people can understand that, and if you have a chance, I know you mentioned Tony Robbins' documentary, I am Not Your Guru. It's one of the best self-help documentaries you could watch. I think it's still on Netflix.
I actually know the couple that's in that video. Like, I worked with them in the Virgin Islands.
No way.
Yeah.
After Tony or before Tony?
Actually, when I had just met them, they had just come back from that conference when I had just met them, and we're still friends to this day. But I did some work with their chiropractic office down in the Virgin Islands. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I wanted to touch on something that you made me think of, that it's interesting. I think as adults that are in this industry, that we understand now like what we need to do in order to prevent ourselves. Like, you talked about the victim mentality, right? Mm-hmm. But what I've learned and what I'm learning, I think that's why a lot of people are trying to get this into our educational system, is that we're never taught this. Like, so what happens is we live our entire lives mostly like this. Like, a lot of, like, now our generation will be able to teach this to our children, but I don't think a lot of our parents knew how to explain these things. We weren't taught these things. These conversations weren't being had, really. And so I think it'll be interesting as the world is evolving and we're being more open to these types of conversations, that this needs to be something we're teaching from a young age, because it's that mindset that is with us for so many years is what most of us are trying to get out of as adults, regardless if you had a good upbringing or not. It can be, I had great parents, and my parents were like, what did we do wrong? And I'm like, they didn't do anything wrong. You know, but it's what you're exposed to, you know, that your brain, eventually gets wired in there and you start to believe it, you know, if you're experiencing the same thing over and over again. So I think it's something that needs to be taught, you know, for, I don't know how, but in the educational system somehow.
No, but totally. It comes down to a few things: accountability, discipline, the ability to listen. These are all things that have to be done more, because something that a lot of kids experience are these, you know, people do experience different kinds of oppression, you know. And I love what you said about how the parents don't understand. It's not just the parents, right? You had a lovely childhood with your parents, but there could have been other factors. Maybe there was a bully from school who you were always avoided, and that could have caused some of your frustrations as a child. Maybe you didn't feel you were doing adequate enough on your test, and you had a high standard for yourself, you know, that maybe your parents did set for you. Whatever it is, it's so important that we encourage one another to talk about where we're feeling frustration, right? And this is something that I learned in studying a lot more veterans. As you know, the veteran suicide rate is something that's really important to me, because I came out of the military a few years ago and I had no clue how to talk about feelings. I was 28 years old. I was lost in my own thoughts, in my mind. And one of the best expressions that I love when talking about this stuff is moral wounds. I come from a family of a lot of substance abuse. I've got cousins in jail. I've got, you know, my uncle OD'd, the one I was named after, you know, all kinds of horrible stuff, abuse, and my parents never, you know, they didn't have anything to do with that. It wasn't, you know, in my immediate family, but they can understand that stuff because that's real. That's there. Like, you know, there's a drinking problem. Everybody can see the guy's falling down the stairs. He's drunk. If there's an emotional abuse problem or a physical abuse problem, you know, there's usually marks on somebody's body to prove that. When somebody has moral wounds, and they're frustrated with the course or the trajectory that their life has taken. Maybe that's, they just got out of the military and they have no clue what to do with their life now, or they don't have a sense of purpose, or they don't know what your why is, which, you know, is just reinforces why it's so important to get in touch with your why right away, right? I think that it's something that it does need to be taught. And I think that there are a lot of good people in the community right now who are talking about, who are bringing these issues that aren't so black and white. Again, it's not like, oh, he's got a drinking problem, send him to rehab. Oh, he's got a drug problem, send him to drug rehab. It's like, no, there's something deeper underneath that. And that's what I truly believe. Like, everybody, even some of my closest friends and family, you know, the ones who have the drug issues, the drinking problems, the anger issues. I always say, because everybody likes to blame the substance, right? It's the substance. He was born with a drinking problem. And I say, I don't know if I agree. I think he's got underlying problems, underlying frustrations, you know, or jealousy issues, whatever it is, resentment. And then the individual turns to the substance to find comfort. And that's where it really, you know, I don't know enough about substance abuse to go too into it, but that's right. My philosophy.
Yeah. And I do think some of that is passed down through our DNA, but I only think if you expose, because I have alcoholism in my family as well. Only if you expose yourself to that, but there's usually something that is driving you to do that. And it really, really comes down to, Joey, like, people don't feel loved.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, they want people to love them. They think that there's something wrong with them and that people can't love them for who they are, and they don't know who they are. That kind of goes back into the self-worth and the value. And so they get so caught up in this, it's like this thing that's going on in your head, like, what's it called? Just the thoughts that you just keep playing with over and over again, that you don't understand why people don't love you or why you were put in this situation, that they can't get out of, you know? And it really, like I said, everyone wants to be loved.
Yes.
It comes down to. So,
let's segue a little bit into something that I want to talk about with you, because it's something that you're doing. I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. It is a competition that you have decided to join. You actually encouraged me to join it, which I was thinking about it. So I might, if it's not, it might.
There's still time.
Is there still time?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's called the Next Impactor Competition. Mm-hmm. And you're going around lobbying for votes. So I figured I'll give you a few minutes to go ahead and talk to my audience and tell them why they should go to the Next Impactor and vote for you.
Yeah. So there's a couple of entrepreneurs that are putting this together. It's going to be on TV, ABC, Fox, some other channels. And it's really about people that are making an impact in people's lives and around the world. So people that are, and I actually was trying to get on live with another competitor on there. But it's people that are trying to change lives and to make a difference in the world. And this platform, this competition, is giving people the opportunity to do that. And I'm focusing mine around workplace culture. And the reason I'm doing that, because as a former recruiter and hiring manager, I started to see a pattern after talking to people, like hundreds and hundreds of people. I've probably talked to thousands of people. But you see the same pattern. And now there's so much research that's out there that it's just undeniable that work is where we spend a majority of our time. And it's actually a direct impact in causing illnesses, sickness, disease. It's increasing our healthcare costs. It's $300 billion a year is related to job-related stress that's being spent on U.S. employers, just U.S. employers alone. And people are dying because of work. Like, over 100,000 people have been reported dying. That's not even including suicides. In the book, Dying for a Paycheck by Jeffrey Pfeiffer, he talks about an Uber employee that committed suicide because work was so stressful.
Wow.
So it's hard, because the reason why I think this is a core issue is because we rely on our work for our livelihood. We need money to survive, basically. And so if we're not working, then we're not surviving. And, you know, as a coach, you know, that's not, the goal is to really thrive, right? And so most people are just trying to survive. And that's a whole other story that we can get into, because of the pressures of society, and most people are in debt and how the whole circle goes. But that's why I want to focus on workplace culture, because coming up, they're not having it anymore. They don't want to work in corporate. They want to have flexible schedules. They want to have companies that care about their employees. And a great example of this is they're comparing it to the Environmental Act. Mm. How can we care more about an environment? We have got regulation and policy around dumping chemicals into the ocean and, you know, smoking, all that stuff. But what about human sustainability? You know, you don't have to be working in what's considered a high stress job. By the way, the number one high stressful job is someone that's in the military. And number three is an event planner, which I was. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, it could be a manager. You could be a regular employee at Whole Foods and it could be stressful. You know, it's making sure that there's a culture that's being created. That's not, like I said, just about happy hours and celebrating birthdays. Make sure that you're taking care of the human beings that are doing the work for you and who are serving other human beings. That's really what it comes down to. So.
I love it.
Woo! Yeah.
You got it. You got my vote right there.
Vote for me, people.
So now what do you stand to win if you
accomplish? $250,000 towards my mission and coaching and mentoring. You're like, oh, I'm in now.
I better be getting a cut if you
get. We get picked to be on team, so we could possibly be on the same team together.
You could be onto something there, Tony. I'm in.
I'm all about teamwork. Teamwork, dream work.
Teamwork woo, makes woo. The dream work. Yeah. Yes. So I think that's awesome. If you guys, you know, if you're just listening, you can go to thenextimpactor.com to go ahead and vote for Tony Bubb. If not, we're going to put some links in the YouTube channel. So check us out there. You'll be able to see, you know, you can also check Tony out on what social media do you want to tell them about, Tony?
So LinkedIn is the main one. And then Instagram is more for fun. I'm not really like focused on growing Instagram. And then Facebook for my After Dark series. That's where I get into a little bit more serious and dark topics that no one wants to ever talk about.
Oh, well,
that's hashtag After Dark series.
That's for our next episode. We're going to talk about the dark stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like we got a little dark in this podcast a little bit, right?
We did. It was just the right amount of darkness.
Just the right amount.
Yeah. You got to have darkness in order to see the light.
I love that. You're just coming out with all kinds of positive quotes today. All right, Tony. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap this episode up. I'm going to put all of Tony's info in the YouTube link, guys. If not, go on LinkedIn, type in Tony Bubb, and I promise you will not be disappointed when you hit the follow button. Thanks so much for being on, Tony.
Thanks so much, Joey. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Bye. How do I look? Anything on my face? You
look Joey.
Okay. You too. Nope.
No crumbs on your face. I'm wearing my Hey Bubb shirt. I was hoping you guys would be able to see it.
You got to zoom out a little. Oh my God, that's your shirt?
Yeah.
Where do I get one?
And your voice sounds good too.
It sounds all right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Every now and then it cracks. So,
there's if so it many does.
No. All right, let's get started.
Let's get going. Come on, Joey.
This is going to be the best. I'm an old school.
Come on, knock on our door. Come on, knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you.
Is that the theme song from Three's Company?
Yeah.
See what I'm doing? I'm procrastinating.
Dude, you need to record this shit. These are good bloopers, man.
We're recording right now.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Does it say it on your screen?
I don't know. Oh, yes, it does.
Okay. I hope it does.
Okay, let's go.
This is going to be the first blooper episode, all right?
Love it.